Welcome to another episode of LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. To get today with me, I have two fine gentlemen, and they are dear friends as well. So that doesn't hurt when we're doing a little podcast about our beloved Reds. Good morning, Mr. Sammy Lee. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ragnar. I'm fine, thank you. Particularly after last night's result. Very, very well, thank you. Lovely morning as well. So hello to all your listeners.
And I have to say, I was surprised he really put on a show for us, Jurgen Klopp, because you thought, you know, it was going to bring out the reserves, and then we had such a night.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously he had a good mix. Yesterday he put a couple of youngsters in, didn't he, Tyler Morton and Nish William, I think. But, you know, I think the good thing about Jurgen is that, you know, he understands the importance of each and every game to everybody. And the main thing is that, particularly when you're at Anfield, that you have to get a good result. And I also am of the belief that, you know, whichever side you put out will be the strong, one of the strongest sides that he can put out to go and get a good result. And as I say, it was a good mix, I feel, given some lads, it was a dead rubber, I think, Dave, wasn't it, in many respects. But it's good to give people, you know, experience, minutes on the park, Champions League minutes at home. A European night at home at Anfield is always something special. And it was good to see last night.
And this podcast will actually be about the pressure and the job of being a manager. So I can't wait for this one because it's been a very strange season. We've had so many new managers coming in since July. And we'll talk about what it's like to be in that circus because you, Sammy, have been in there until recently. So we'll talk more about that. But before then, good morning to you as well, Mr. David Fairclough. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Ragnhild. And as Sammy said, it's a beautiful morning here in Liverpool. So spirits are good. Always nicer when the sun's out and Liverpool have won the night before. So, yeah, all good.
And you are due after this across the park to Goodison in the sunshine. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, part of one of the things I do for charity is linked to awareness of a project called Crime Stoppers here in the UK. So we're putting together now an initiative whereby Liverpool, Everton, Tranmere Rovers and Little Marine, who are a non-league team here in Liverpool, are all going to work together on a big project on awareness of Crime Stoppers. So we're launching it today. There's a photo call down at Goodison. We're sharing the load a little bit. You know, we can't, it's no one team's project. It's very much a collective. So yeah, nice little morning. Go over there and have a few words with the blue friends of the city.
Well, I'm sure Sammy Lee can fill in on the atmosphere among the Blues since he's been there coaching not long ago. And let's start with that, Sammy, because this year there's been so many changes. I can't remember a season. There's been so many changes within the first half of a Premier League season. Let me just shout out at the clubs who've now changed the manager since Roy Hodgson retired in Crystal Palace after last season. So it's also Wolves, Everton, Tottenham twice, Watford, Newcastle, Norwich, Aston Villa, Newcastle, and now Manchester United. It's some list. It's a crazy season, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But unfortunately, that's indicative of the way the game's going now, I believe, Ragnhild, and the pressure that are put on managers and coaches, I think, is huge. I don't think it's helped by social media there. I don't know whether you agree. You know, and people have a voice, and you certainly make that voice heard. But it's not an easy situation. It's not a nice situation because I think you find in our game that the better teams generally come out of the fact that they've got continuity and consistency. Look at here, Liverpool, what they've got here. And I think that doesn't happen overnight. And in order to be able to formulate that, you've got to give people time and space within the situation. It's something that you just don't get in football anymore. I think a lot of owners, they listen to outside pressure, outside media, social media, and they react upon it. And it's quite sad, really, because there's a lot of good people who are losing the positions. Some bad people as well, you know, but by and large, people work hard in whichever function they're in. And it's not nice to see, but sadly, as I started off by saying, unfortunately, it's a fact of life and it's football at this present moment in time.
You are mentioning that we're lucky here at Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp, who's been here for 6 years now. And that is definitely bringing quality to the team and also sort of reassurance. And it's something about building a team over time and building your players and your system over time. And you know that, both of you, you know, playing under managers who got so much time to build and shape you and give you that trust. What does it do to the players, you think, to keep changing managers almost like underwear? That was a bit rude, but
never. Well, so for some players, maybe they enjoy the change because maybe they've been out of the picture for a length of time, and when they get the vibe of a new manager, perhaps is on the way, that lifts their spirits. You know, I'll just look at Van der Beek at Manchester United. Didn't play for so long, and then manages out, he's in. That's kind of one example of, you know, where your fortunes can change when managers change. We've seen it at Norwich as well. A couple of players who were out very much out in the cold, Gilmore and Cantwell, and back, they're thrown in immediately. So for some people, it's a change of fortune, and that's the benefit of it. But on the other side, flip side, players like continuity. They like to be feel comfortable, you know, they like that sort of feeling that, you know, there's no change, no upheaval, I think, generally as a rule. So if you can bring that to a football club, deliver the success that the owners demand these days, that's for the betterment of a team, I think. Nobody really ideally wants change, you know, because, it creates too much uncertainty.
But I think also, to be honest with you, Dave and Agnes, I think what happens as well, when you've got continuity, you're able to bring the youngsters through as well, you know, being known full well that whatever happens in the next game, generally, you're not going to lose your job. And I think that's important as well, because teams like Liverpool and Chelsea, you know, they've seen the benefits of now. Chelsea have been famous for farming their youngsters out for the last 5, 6, 7 years. You know, but now they are reaping the rewards of which Frank Lampard actually introduced of bringing these youngsters in. And look at the youngsters Liverpool are introducing. You know, Alex Engelthorpe at the academy is doing a fantastic job. And the only way you'll find out about these players is if you get opportunity and chance to play. Jürgen, because, you know, he's very comfortable in his, not going to say comfortable, that's wrong, you know, but he's very safe in his job, and the fact that he's created a fantastic scenario here at Liverpool where he can bring the youngsters in. And I think through hard work which he's done, he's got himself a situation now where he can afford to bring these youngsters in. And again, I repeat, they need opportunity. You know, forgive me for saying safe and comfortable. No job's comfortable. What I meant by that is that Jürgen's done such a good job that he's in a situation now that he can bring these youngsters through, which is very important for the academy and for the football club as a whole.
I think if you get a manager that does have an eye on the what's coming up behind in terms of the academy, that's for the better. For a football club. Not all managers do think like that. You know, we've seen it perhaps with Mourinho as an example. He's not ideal, you know, doesn't appear to really feel about sort of introducing youngsters. But, you know, as we've said, Klopp has this idea, the belief that he's willing to give opportunity. Tuchel as well, to a point. Managers are very comfortable in their own skin. You know, Guardiola maybe had been reluctant, but the signs now that Guardiola is also turning that way, maybe that's a sign of the strength that they of the player that they've got in the youth system. But it's managers who are very, very comfortable with the situation that they've created, and they're lucky that they've got that relationship now with owners and the fan base. You know, the fan base really turn against managers of that sort of ilk.
Yeah, let's talk about the fan base, because you mentioned social media. How much power has have the fans got in terms of getting the manager sacked in this new modern football?
Well, I mean, not just getting the manager sacked. I think rightly so, the fans have a big voice now, and rightly so, because we've seen the situation earlier on the season where so-called top teams wanted to break away. I think so. That's created now a fan forum, a fan basis whereby they have a voice, and rightly so. It's just how far that voice goes, you know, because at the end of the day, I think you still need to let the people make the decisions, and the good people stand by the good supporters stand by the people in charge. Obviously, when you have social media, you do get rogues who come into it and they do say certain things, but by and large, I think more often than not now, football has got a fan base now, which is going to have an involvement, which I think is crucial for the game moving forward.
But Sammy, we've talked now about the benefits of having a long-term manager in terms of having the capacity and the will also to look forward for the youngsters, and also that, what that creates for the of the safety of the players. But can you try to describe, because you've been in this situation a few times recently, how is the impact when you are in a club where forces want you out?
It's difficult. It is difficult because at the end of the day, when you come into a situation, you just want to do the best for whichever football club you're at. And I've been very fortunate to be working with Sam Allardyce. And rightly or wrongly, perception is everything. He's seen as a firefighter. So we're more used to going to situations like that, to be honest with you, Ragnar, where, you know, teams aren't doing very, very well. So Sam normally gets his opportunity around about December, you know, where you come into places, and invariably it's a situation where you know it's dire, you know, so it's rock bottom. So we come in, we try to turn it around, and by and large, Sam has done that. But I'll be honest with you as well, he's better than that. But perception is everything, and to go back to what you were saying before, it's not easy going to that kind of situation. Because, as you said, there's a lot of negativity in and around a football club, whichever football club that is. And you have to reverse that. You have to turn that round. And the only way you really do that is by creating a good environment, a positive environment, and ultimately by winning football games, which is never an easy situation, particularly in this Premier League or the Championship.
What do you think is the most important thing for a new manager coming in, David, to be successful the first crucial weeks?
I think you've got to build a relationship with the players. It's got to be a positive one. I think whether or not he gets that respect automatically, because generally you build your respect. People, you know, that's something that grows. But I think you have to go in there with an idea that the players are going to be on your side. I suspect, you know, the players are not going to be fighting for you and working for you. Have that relationship with you, then they're not going to get the best. You know, you're not going to get the best from them. So that's an art in itself to have that sort of ability to go in and build relationships and get people on side and to do it quickly is very difficult. So if you're able to do that, you know, you're worth your weight in gold, really.
Last week, well, before the international break, we spoke about Steven Gerrard's choice to start managing Aston Villa. And we're happy with that choice, aren't we, David? How do you think he's doing so far?
That's a great start. You know, to win your first game is always not crucial, but it gets you off on the right foot. And I think there's a general buzz, what I'm hearing. I've spoke to one or two of the ex-players who live around the Birmingham area, and they were saying already you pick up on the vibe that the Villa fans are very happy. There's a positive feel, and that's important. You know, you get the fans on side when, you know, we've seen down in the past, if the crowd liked the appointment, then there's a buzz rather than a sort of a question mark over how it's going to happen. And that was clear, I think, on Saturday. The fans are really happy. Steven Gerrard is the type of character that I think a football club wants to see, because he goes into it whole, you know, full-hearted, you know, 100%. He's been a winner through his football career, in his playing career. And he intends to take that into management. And I think the fans have picked up on that. So I think it's a great appointment. And, you know, without being unfair to Dean Smith, I had a feeling that I think they'd lost, the Villa fans had lost the belief that I think they were going in the right direction with Dean Smith. And I think you see Stevie on the line. I think you can get that idea that the passion and the commitment that he has and he demands from the players. And I think that's going to be a healthy relationship, Villa and Stevie.
And it's such a massive thing for so many football fans worldwide that one of the biggest icons, I have to say, in modern time has returned to Premier League, and now they're changing the TV fixtures because the whole world wants to see Stevie back in Premier League. What do you think that's doing for him in terms of that love and interest for him in general now that he's debuting as a manager in such a tough league?
Well, I think as you've alluded to be honest with you, Neil, it's fantastic for the Premier League. You know, Stevie has taken over a situation. It's a fantastic club, Aston Villa, as were Glasgow Rangers. So he hasn't gone the easy route. He's gone up to Glasgow Rangers to try and break the stranglehold that Celtic had. He's done that, you know, and I know the Glasgow Rangers fans weren't happy that he left, but I think they understand it now. They'll get it. His time is now. And he's coming to the Premiership. And I think, as you said, the sky is starting to change fixtures just so we can see Stevie Gerrard on the television, which is terrific. And whenever you have somebody like that in our game, I think it's fantastic. I may say, and please don't take this the wrong way, it's nice that it's a British coach as well.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that's not misinterpreted. You know, it's great when you have the likes of Pep, and as you said, you mentioned, you know, Ancelotti at the time, you mentioned Mourinho at the time, you mentioned before. But to have Stevie, you know, back at a massive iconic club as Aston Villa are, I think it's fantastic for this Premier League, but fantastic for the guy himself. You know, I repeat, he hasn't gone the easy route. He's been a fantastic player. He is a fantastic coach. He's got a fantastic team around him, starting with Gary McAllister. He's got Tommy Culshaw there. He's got the young Beale lad, I think, hasn't he? And he's got Jordan as well with him. We all know it's a very, very good team he's got around him. And I think that's one of the strengths of Stevie. He realises that to succeed, he needs the best people around him, and he's done that. He's not gone in there, you know, thinking that I can do it all. He gets the best people in to do the best job in whichever department he's got. And I just wish him nothing but success. And it started well for him, as you said, because I repeat, I think it's a fantastic football club, Aston Villa.
Talking about success, let's go in the opposite end of success. A little bit of a disaster a few miles down the road to Manchester United and my fellow Norwegian Ole Gunnar Solskjær. It had to happen, didn't it? He has been under so much pressure. He has aged so much the last couple of years. It's been frightening, you know. The babyface assassin all of a sudden looked so old. And I mean, he's my age plus a couple of years, and he looks like he could have been my dad. In just 2 years, that pressure must have been horrendous.
I think getting that opportunity to go to Manchester United, you couldn't turn it down. And although he'd been a player there, taken on the mantle that has been held by so many great managers in the past was always going to be difficult for him so early in his career. The expectation of Manchester United fans is massive, and there are few really you can handle it sort of comfortably. So you know, he got out of jail a few times, so to speak. You know, when sometimes the pressure was coming to bear. They get a result, and it would give him a little bit more of he got the endorsement from the powers that be. So he hung on to it, but you always sensed that he was just hanging on. And these days, we've mentioned some names this morning already, competing with the managers of the top three at the moment, week in, week out, with the knowledge and that you need to impart on games, you know, as the things are happening. He looked a little bit short, I have to say, and I think to be in competition with those three, Guardiola, Tuchel, and Klopp, he probably wasn't quite ready. I don't think so. It was inevitable. He'll still remain a legend of Manchester United for everything that he achieved as a player. He can leave knowing that his sort of his heritage that is in the past as a player, it will be still strong. He's still loved, I'm sure, by many. There were people, I think, calling for his head initially, but they'll ultimately, you know, say he's a fan's favourite forever. He perhaps hasn't delivered as a manager, but it was inevitable.
But Sammy, at the same time, though, he did bring the club soul back because it was a miserable club under Mourinho.
I was about to say that
they
to
were all
Mourinho.
Just
I think one of his briefs,
grumpy, you know, they were not a team.
Well, I think one of his briefs was to bring the club, as you say, back together again, because under previous regimes, it seems to have gone fragmented, fractious, if you like, and it can be volatile. I think his brief was to, and I think he did that initially. And don't forget, he finished second last year.
Exactly, and he got them to a European final.
Yeah, people forget that. But yeah. I think Dave's alluded to it. I think, and then what happens is then, you know, I think, and everyone was so pleased with that, but I still think people saw that there was weaknesses there. Whether that was management, whether that was his team that he had behind him, or whether that was the actual team on the pitch, I think a number of components come into the demise of Ole. But he's still a great guy. I think he's done a terrific job. He certainly completed part of the brief that he brought in to do, as I say, to bring the club back together, more unified. But unfortunately, then, as I said before, it what goes on the pitch then that matters, and ultimately, the results and the performances really weren't what the Manchester United supporters wanted or expected. And I think, as David said, there was a bit of an air of inevitability about it. Sad nonetheless, because I personally don't like to see any manager lose a job. Being in that situation myself on a number of occasions now, it's not nice. It's not nice, but it is a very, very pressurised situation. And I think if you go back and see Ollie, or you go forward and see Ollie in a month's time, you'll get back to seeing the babyface assassin, I think.
I think United, it isn't unique, but there are a few clubs that have that pressure of doing things in a particular way. And I think United have to have big stars, as we've seen with the likes of Ronaldo and others. And whether or not that was a situation that really suited Solskjaer, I think maybe it was a little bit too early. I think if you get a character like Guardiola or Klopp particularly, who can go on, who, okay, will take on board reputations, but still they remain the top men at the club. And I think there was a little bit of a... it's an odd mix about United, and I think Solskjaer was still a little bit overshadowed by some of the names that were... that he was given to work with, and whether they were actually his choices, I sometimes wonder. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that there were choices made for him. So,
especially Ronaldo.
Yeah, Ronaldo was obviously because it's the most recent one, but I think there was also one or two others that maybe he wasn't solidly the sole sort of endorser of players. So there's a strange mix there at Manchester United. It does take a special type to work that
and
out.
I think what you're alluding to, Dave, as well, it wasn't just Ollie's problem. There seems to be problems from the top to the bottom there at Manchester United. Mm. I.e. who signs these players, who brings them in, who sanctions the signing of these players. So I think you're correct in that. But I repeat, he's a good guy, and he'll learn from this. He'll learn from this experience. I hope he does, because we all have to.
The last manager change that I want to talk about is Benitez to Everton, since you're with us today, Sammy, because you've been his number two in Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And you've been Sam's number two in Everton.
Yeah.
What did you think when you heard Benitez was going across and coaching the rivals, or his beloved rivals?
You might say something else there, right? I wasn't surprised at all. And I've said this on many occasions. Again, he is a top coach. And my belief is that Everton are a top football club. I've said this before to you, Ragnar. I think this city needs two top teams in the Premiership. And I think Sam Allardyce did a very good job in maintaining that status of keeping Everton in the Premier League. I've said it before, because when Sam took over, they were 16th, he got them to 8th. And then people started talking about styles of football and the perception of styles of football. But to go back to the question of Rafa, I was not surprised at all. And as I said to you, his family still live in the area. He is a top, top coach, and Everton are a top team. And I think they needed someone like Rafa to steady the ship. And I think he's done a great job thus far. Again, I know Liverpool are playing Everton in a couple of weeks' time. So that'll be a big test for everybody, both in terms of the reception and things like that. But I think it's at Goodison, Dave, isn't it, the first one?
Yeah.
I think he's still held in very high esteem here by all the Liverpoolian fans here. So I think, they appreciate what he did at Newcastle, certainly the job he did at Liverpool, and he's a professional and the job he's doing at Everton. And I wasn't surprised at all, Ragnar, to be perfectly honest with you.
But he's had a tough start, though, David, with all the injuries in Everton. Do you think that's going to affect his popularity in the club, or do the fans understand that it's the player material he needs to be able to build up?
I think it threatens to hamper him. I think the fact that this squad wasn't as strong as some in the Premier League, he's got to work with a group that it's going to be a little bit of a test.
Yeah.
Maybe their best 11 could compete in the top sort of 8, let's say. But without some of the bigger names, then it's a tough job for Rafa. And I think the last few weeks have shown how difficult it is. He is a top coach. There's no denying that. I mean, his qualifications stand up against many the biggest coaches in the Premier League. So it's not a surprise that he gets the job. But unfortunately, I think the group of players that he had to work with, they weren't really. They're not that much better than they were 2 years ago.
Who's there then?
I don't know who was a coach, and but the players in the players, I think I don't think have really improved. Ancelotti came in, signed one or two players, marquee names. Really, we're only there because Ancelotti was there. They clearly didn't want to be there, and I think since they've sort of moved on, I think. You know, Everton's squad has looked quite thin. So Rafa's got, you know, a few issues to and a few battles, which won't endear him to the fans. I think that, you know, that, you know, really, there's a hardcore that will always be against anybody who has that Liverpool link to you know, going to Everton. But equally, the people who've got some sense and know what it's all about know the reasons why Everton are probably having an indifferent run at the moment.
And also, as I alluded to earlier on in the conversation, Ragnar, I think results, you know yourself, you get results, then, you know, it's key to everything what you do. And, you know, for me, he won a lot of people over in the initial period when he had a few results. Obviously, when results turn against him, then obviously there'll be questions asked. But that's the nature of football. But again, you're only as good as, people say your last game, I always say you're only as good as your next game. So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of the Everton-Liverpool game, because again, you know, that could turn a lot of people's opinion back around in his favour, or the other way.
We need to move on to the matches we're talking through, because David is soon due to a photo shoot over there at Goodison. But my final question about the manager pressure. Are we seeing you back in the game, Sammy? Are you returning, or have you retired now?
No, stop it, Ragnar, please. You know, how can you retire from something that you love? You know, you can't, you know. But again, it's not always my call, really, you know, because again, perception is everything. People put me and Sam together, which has been great, great for me. I love the guy. He's been very, very good to me. I hope I've been very good to him. So the answer to that is I'm not sure, to be honest yet. I'd love to be back in, but again, it's opportunities. As I said, you meet young players before, it's the same for coaches. There's an awful lot of coaches out there and very, very few jobs, or very, very few situations. I don't like calling it a job because it's not. So I don't really know. I'd love to be back in. You know, which would be nice. But at this moment in time, I'm doing a situation where I'm doing a bit of mentoring of young coaches through the League Managers Association, which is fantastic for me, because it gets me involved, it gets me out on the grass, it gets me out, you know, watching football games, which is what I want to do.
I have to throw in one last question. Of all the teams you've coached, which one is your favourite?
The next one.
Oh, I love it. That's a great answer, actually, a very good answer. So then let's move to the next one, which is Southampton coming up. Southampton have, they're now in the 13th place as we are talking. They have, they've won 3, they've drawn 5, and they've lost 4. And they've been in a good form. I think they lost their last one, but unbeaten in the, yeah.
I like them, the coach, personally, but I think they're going to struggle this year. I think I'm putting them in the possible relegation pot. I think there's something about Southampton that doesn't quite sort of give me the feeling that they're going to be strong this year. Coming to Liverpool, I'm very much forecasting a Liverpool win, but I think that was a poor result at Norwich last week. Okay, it was Norwich's first game, but still and all, kind of indicates, that's one of the indicators to me that maybe the metal isn't there within the Southampton group. And you're looking at the teams who are going to be fighting for the, you know, fighting sort of to avoid relegation. I think they're in there. I think they're very much in the pot. I kind of like the coach, but I think it's going to be a struggle for Southampton.
Yeah, well, I hope you're wrong as regards the relegation there, because I like Southampton because I've coached there, believe it or not, Ragnar, as well. You know,
we're having a coach, Sam.
Okay, all right, Dave. But I think
Manchester United, you will never go there. If you go there, I will have to hit you in the head with something heavy.
No. But I think Davey's right. I think like Southampton 13th, as you say, in the table. I think it's not the results against the top ones. It's the ones in and around that proves where they'll, you know, where they'll finish in the season. And I hope it's not relegation, as you mentioned, Dave. But I also think it is important, and it's quite telling, really, when they lose to the likes of Norwich, because They need to be beating teams like that. The teams in and around them or below them to maintain their status in the Premiership. They'll always come up strong against, you know, the top teams because on any given day they can perform. But it's the results against their team in and around them which will dictate and determine their future. And I agree with Dave here. I was disappointed in the last result against Norwich, albeit Norwich had a new manager in charge. I get that. But I still think, and I do like the coach, Ralph, at Southampton. And I thought that was a game that they would not have been taken under by. I thought that was a game that they would have won.
Predictions?
Liverpool win. As I've said before, I never go to Anfield with the expectation of anything but a win. We've shot ourselves in the foot on one or two occasions this season. I think they have got to become even less than what we've had previously if we're going to keep pace with Manchester City and Chelsea. So a Liverpool win, and I think potentially there's a three-goal margin there.
Oh, as you know, Rag, I've never, ever been able to predict football.
No.
Never, ever been able to. I think for me, if it did... I'd be on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean, you know, like I think. But I've never been able to do that.
Take me with you.
Yeah, you can come, no problem, for 1 week.
Well, a friend of mine just came in. Bruce's driver, Tony, you know Tony. He came in yesterday and he had again got the right result last night with Porto. And he also had, believe it or not, the 5-0 against Manchester United. He won £1,200.
Do you know, them people always tell you after the event, yeah. Right? Don't they never tell you before. Then, you know.
When they lose.
Yeah, I've never, yeah. You know, and that's what I'm saying. I've never been able to predict football. That I think, for me, that's the joy. It really is the joy of football that on any given day anybody can do whatever. But I agree with Davey. I think if Liverpool get anywhere near their form, you know, then I think I can see a Liverpool win.
I'm saying 4-0. Salah's on fire. Look at that goal again last night. He's just doing it for fun now, dribbling past everyone and just
Salah,
scoring.
Salah, you said, don't you?
Salah.
Salah.
That's what they say in Egypt. I've been to Egyptian TV. Mohamed Salah. Yeah, it's great. 4-0.
Well, you're always ultra confident. You often go one or two more than me.
Yeah.
I try and be realistic, but I do think Liverpool are in a good place at the moment. And as you say, the forwards are in good form.
And just quickly about Arsenal as well. You were in Sweden and saw that amazing game. I was sort of lucky to be at Anfield, grinning. I didn't even feel the rain. I was so underdressed and it was so cold and damp. I was so warm by those four goals.
But you know what was good about it as well, Agnes? Because thankfully you invited me here on the day, and we were talking about it beforehand. What I loved about it was the distribution of the goals, you know, and the fact that Mane got his goal, but then he provided the ball for Salah's goal, you know, and I think that was crucial because there's been a lot of false news and false rumours going around about them too, you know, because people just like to undermine and unsettle people. But to see what you know, Sadio did for that ball for Salah, and to see them go together, you know, and hug each other. For me, I was really pleased with the mix of the goals and the distribution of goals. You know, Jota got his as well. You know, so for me, it was the fact that four very good goals. I think they dominated an Arsenal side. It could have been more, should have been more. And I was very, very pleased with that performance. Very impressed as well.
It was a day full of love, really, because when we did the pre-match here, Sammy and I, we even had an engagement.
You're engaged.
You're engaged. Yeah. You know that, Dave?
Right, engaged. That's a great engagement.
A couple from Wales. We didn't get engaged. Oh, God. A young, beautiful couple from Wales. One of our regulars, Mark, proposed to his lovely girlfriend just after our pre-match. I just thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah. And she said, yeah.
And she said, yeah. In Valish.
Does anyone ever say
Valishian?
No?
Is that, do you say Valishian or Welsh? Welsh.
Welsh, yeah.
Yeah, she said yes in Welsh. That was beautiful. And tomorrow, actually, we're having a book event with John Barnes here. And on Saturday, David Johnson, the doc, is coming in.
Wow.
And he's entertaining for Sami Hyypiä and his mates from Finland. So our guests on the sold-out pre-match will be pretty happy when they see that they are partying and warming up to the game with the big Sammy as well. So that'd be nice.
The big dog.
The dog will get them warm, won't
he? He will get them warm. So until next week, thank you all so much for listening. Please spread the word about this podcast to all your friends and family. It's free and it's for everyone to enjoy in all those 48 countries out there where you do enjoy it. And we are really, really, really pleased you are so happy with this podcast. And we will keep going as long as you're happy. Dearest, dearest, dearest David Fairclough, smile well on that shootout, even though you have some blue stuff in the background. You can do it, you can do it. And Sammy Lee, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Pleasure. Been a pleasure, having me. Thank you to all your listeners and to you. Thank you. Have a lovely Christmas. We don't see you beforehand, so have a good one.